This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by RSM leader and partner, Rick Kess. Rick, we're in a situation that's fascinating. Interest rates are just starting to pop up a little bit. People are concerned about the Fed looking at tapering their bond purchases, which may lead Treasury yields to go up a little bit. Some alternative to equities. The private equity world had an absolutely record first half of the year in terms of transactions, as did the M&A world in total. What do you see for the rest of the year? We're talking now September 17th. The market's down a little bit today on concerns about interest rates going up. Delta seems to be a little control for the moment, though hospitalizations are still at 90,000. We'll get this episode out right away. Rick, what do you see out there? What should we expect for the rest of this year?
Yeah, it's interesting, Scott. I had dinner last night with a large portfolio company that's in the process of transaction. They've got four private equity groups kind of courting them, if you will, that's kind of dwindled down from the original pack of about 12. And, you know, talking to the CFO and the CEO last night, you know, they saw, you know, two of them being extremely active and really positive on the deal front. And their anecdotes there were really that, you know, they see this year as kind of a year where they need to put money to work. These private equity funds are saying, hey, we need to find really, really good producing assets. We can even pay maybe a bit of a premium to where we want to be because we need to put our money to work now, because next year, you know, these private equity funds are thinking it will even be busier. So, you know, I think they're just kind of saying, well, let's get this money out. Let's play with what we know is as active right now. And let's get our money to work because we need to start earning, you know, a return for our limited partners.
But what a fascinating scenario, because there's got to be some exit 3 to 5 years from now. But I guess their view is they do business, they hope for the best, and they can't really control what happens with interest rates 3 to 5 years from now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously you can only kind of plan on what you can control. And they, I think, you know, if I step back and look at this particular portfolio company, I think, you know, you've got a really well demonstrated and pedigreed management team that has done this time in and time out and shown really good results. They've got a platform that's on a national scale. They're kind of towards the upper end of the middle market today, looking for kind of that breakthrough moment. And I mean, their business isn't all that, you know, glamorous. It's not technology, it's services. And, you know, I think they look at that and say, well, you know, we know what we have here. We know that we've got a tried and true management team. We know we have the national platform in place, and we're just waiting for kind of that maturity level to get to a point where we can, you know, maybe go public or maybe be, you know, acquired by a large conglomerate that's already public or whatever. But yeah, I think that's kind of the mentality here is if you've got something that you know is a really, really pretty safe, pretty good idea, pretty good management team, you know, your private equity groups are still very, very interested in getting that deal done this year.
Right. There's just so much interest in that. There's so much aggressiveness and excitement for it. And we don't know when that's going to wear off. I mean, right now it seems very hot, a lot of excitement. So if you have a good asset that's producing several million dollars in EBITDA or more, you're going to have a pretty good bidding frenzy, aren't you?
Yeah, I agree. I think when you get to that point where you have some meaningful scale, you know, you're going to get a lot of very interested investors looking to kind of get involved. And, you know, the other thing that I think is kind of intriguing to me to see, you know, where this goes is just the kind of the proliferation of all the family offices out there and all the activity that they're looking to do. And, you know, it kind of mirrors a little bit of the private equity kind of thesis in some respects. Maybe slightly different time frames in terms of investments. But, you know, I think you've got a lot of people kind of looking at some of the same assets. And I think that's obviously just creating this demand and kind of this increased deal flow for sure.
And the family offices have a different kind of stress because they're generally, if they're using one family's money, they're not operating under the same 2 and 20 and race to get it to work. Though they also want to invest and make long-term returns and beat inflation and make progress. But different pressures, really, for the family offices and the private equity funds.
Yeah, definitely different pressures, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, kind of the, you know, maybe some of the same goals, just finding the right asset to kind of grow and mature and kind of spin out and exit at a higher multiple, right?
100%. That's the case. Still a lot of desire to find the right assets to invest in, the right businesses and so forth. Rick, I know it's Friday afternoon. I can't thank you enough for joining us today for a short private equity and business update. Always a pleasure to visit with you and RSM. We're remarkable people. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks, Scott. I appreciate your time as well.